Last Sunday, I turned 42 years old. And last Sunday was February 21st. And for 30 years of my life, February 21st was one of my favorite days of the year. Pi Day ranks up there pretty high, March 14th. But February 21st was pretty high too because of my birthday. And so for all those who called or texted or messaged or posted or faxed to say happy birthday, I say thank you so much for thinking of me last Sunday. 11 years ago, my mom called me early in the morning on my birthday. Dad had had a pretty rough night, didn't sleep very well, so she called me to say that they were not going to be able to make it to my birthday party at Fiesta that day. Probably, maybe, come to church, but it all depended on how Dad felt, because that day was a Sunday, much like last Sunday, February 21st. I said, hey, no worries, Mom. No, that's no problem. I'll just see you at church in a little bit, and if Dad doesn't feel up to it, I'll see him later. The lovely was cooking up a delicious breakfast omelet, and I was working on a message for an afternoon service that Sunday. It was a perfect birthday Sunday. I finished studying. I started in on birthday breakfast whenever Mom called back, and I answered, hey, Mom! I figured she was going to sing happy birthday, or maybe she was going to tell me a dad joke. She loves those dad jokes. But her call went differently than I expected, and I'll share that story with you right after this. You're listening to L.J. Harry, and you're listening to I Found God at the Coffee Table on Simplify. I thought she was just going to call to sing happy birthday again, but I'll never forget her voice as she cried over the phone, he's gone, L.J. He's gone. Your dad's gone. Well, where'd he go? No, LJ, he's dead. Your dad is dead. Well, he can't be. He's only 55. This is a cruel prank to play on a guy on his birthday. Mom told me Dad fell asleep in his chair last night. When she woke to wake him, he was still snoring. She went in her room to get ready for church. She came back in the living room, and his arm was hanging over the side of the chair. His face was turning gray. He wasn't breathing. I called 911. I told them where Dad was. Mom and Dad lived right between two towns. It would probably take each ambulance 8 minutes to get to him. Toss a coin, didn't matter to which ambulance got there. In fact, send both. We'll see which one gets there faster. I called my sister, who had also called 911, as I was driving unlawfully fast to get to my Dad. I passed by an ambulance with its emergency lights on, but it was parked on the other side of the road, facing the wrong way. I drove past the last patch of trees, expecting to see an ambulance and deputy sheriff there at the house, but all I saw was Mom's car and Dad's van. No ambulance, no EMT, just Mom and me. I can't tell you how lonely that felt to realize the help I hoped was there wasn't there. I ran inside. I found Dad in his chair, just like Mom told me. I called 911 back, and dispatch told me they were on the way. She told me to try CPR until they did arrive, so I had to pull Dad out of his chair onto the floor. He was about 340 pounds. I was about 140 pounds. Mom and I worked together. We let gravity do its work, got him on the floor. Then dispatch walked me through chest compressions and mouth to mouth. I put my hands together and started chest compressions, then I put my mouth over his and tried to bring him back, but he wasn't responding. A few minutes passed and I heard the sirens. I kept up the compressions and breaths, but still nothing. The door opened and the medical teams rushed in and took over, and I was stunned. I walked a few feet away from Dad. I knelt down at the coffee table and I prayed, oh God, please bring my dad back. Please give him back to me. And I heard God speak to me. And he said, I've got him. When God spoke, God gave me peace. I knew Dad wasn't coming back. As Paul said, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. I stood up and watched them work on him a little while longer, walked over to Mom. I held her. Then one of the EMTs walked up to me and lowered his head and said, I'm sorry. He was gone. He was only 55. That was a Sunday morning. I should have been getting ready for church. It was my birthday. I should have been getting ready for a party. Instead, I was making death notifications to family and friends and church family to tell them that my dad was gone. funeral home came to transport his body. Jeff Briggs, the funeral director, came. I hugged him. He and I had worked several funerals together. I needed somebody to hug. That Sunday night, I had to go to church, not because I had to go, not because I was part of the staff, because I needed to go. I needed God and I needed His church. And that Sunday night, we sang a song we had sung hundreds of times. We sang, "Blessed be the name." But that night, it meant more. When we sang the line, "You give and take away," I knew what it meant by "you take away." And the next few words carried more weight with me. "But my heart will choose to say, blessed be your name." I didn't go to church because I had to. I really went to church because I needed to. I thank God for the church family and my family who surrounded us and prayed for us and hugged us and cried with us. There really is no family like the family of God. Even if you don't have your biological or adopted family, the family of God will be there. All of us have lost someone or someone's dear to us, and all of us will grieve, and we will choose how to grieve. Rather than run to drugs or drinking to numb the pain, please run to Jesus. That next day, the weight of what happened really fell on me, and I realized it was my job now to take care of my mom, provide for her, make sure she had enough. I worried about her, how she would make it. Then I found out Dad had a life insurance policy. Dad took care of Mom. She was going to be fine. A few weeks had passed, and we still hadn't gotten a check from the insurance company. So I called the company to find out about his policy, and he did, in fact, have a life insurance policy on file. It was a 20-year policy. It was opened on February 1st, 1990, and it closed on February 1st, 2010. It expired 20 days before he did. Mom and I were both shocked. How were we going to take care of Mom? She worked for Dad, but she hadn't worked outside of the house for years. She had no income. She was too young for widow's benefits. And one Sunday at church, I built another altar and spent time with God and poured out my soul to Him. And the Lord spoke to me again in that moment when I felt overwhelmed, and He promised me, "Your mother will be like the widow of Zarephath, who never had too much or too little until the rain fell and the famine ended." It was a reference to an Old Testament story where a little widow who had nothing and no one to provide for her only had God, but He was enough. And He took care of her and provided for her in the middle of a famine and a drought until finally the rain fell, the famine ended, and she had enough. I knew God was going to take care of my mom. Shortly after that, somebody held a benefit concert for her. I was one of the singers at that concert, so this was not exactly a top-flight black tie concert. But there she received about $500 through donations. And the next day, Mom's furnace went out. Cost about $320, and she had the money thanks to the benefit concert. Thanks, God. My dad had been away from God for a while, but the Sunday before he died, he went to the altar and he prayed and prayed and repented and poured out his soul to God. He was one of the first in the altar and one of the last to leave. Whether he realized it or not, God had given him a gift. He had given him time to make amends and mend broken relationships and say goodbye. He gave him time to right some wrongs. Through those years, I had front row seats to watch God take care of my mother, take care of our family, all using nothing except for His grace and His goodness. And He took care of my mom. I've read it before, I've preached it before, that Jesus is the provider, but I actually saw it played out. And I've read before and I've preached before that God is good even when life is not. But over those last few years, now 11 years, I have learned firsthand, not just from reading about it, but from living it, Jesus really is our provider. He really is good. And on that Sunday morning in February, kneeling at an old coffee table in Mom and Dad's living room, while the paramedics worked on my dad, I found out that my Jesus was even there. I'm sure there are some of you out there who are going through some things right now, and I want to pray that the Lord would help you. I want to pray He would give you grace, whether to bring you out of it or to walk you through it. I want to pray the Lord would minister to you and be there for you, just like He has been for me. God, I thank You today for Your grace and Your goodness. In times especially like these that I went through and that doubtless others right now are going through, I pray You'd please minister to them. Help them, God, in their grief. Help them in their struggles. Help them in the trouble they're going through. Help them in the pain they feel. I pray, Lord, you would give grace to deliver them out of it or walk them through it. Whatever it is that all of us need today, I ask you to take care of us. Just as you took care of my family, God, I pray you take care of them and theirs. I thank you for your goodness, your mercy, your grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, thanks for tuning in to Simplify. I hope this episode and my story has been a help to you. Hopefully it's encouraged you and built up your faith a bit. If you know somebody who could use this, who needs encouragement, who needs to know that God is there in times like these, please share this episode with them. Let them know about the podcast. This podcast was launched from a devotional I had written called Simplify, appropriately named. It's a 52-week devotional that is available in print or on Kindle. You can get it at PentecostalPublishing.com, or you can pick it up on Amazon. We are in a race for either the podcast total or download total. Right now, we are 2 episodes away from our 100th episode, so that's exciting. And we're only about 1,600 downloads away from 50,000 downloads. So it'll be interesting to see which one we hit first, whether it be 100 episodes or 50,000 downloads. I'm watching that and interested to see how that race turns out. Next week, I want to continue in this vein a little bit, and I want to share with you a devotion called Even There, that God will be even there. I'm looking forward to sharing that with you. I believe it'll help you. And I always look forward to walking closer with Jesus as we walk through Simplify.